Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Good morning. It's great to see everyone. I hope you've had a great week. Colin, it's good to see you, brother. I told you you were going to be up a lot sooner than the last time. Next Sunday, the service is going to be from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. So you got nervous. You thought I was going to say 11 p.m. So please, I need us to arrive early, because if you get here late, half the service is going to be over. Amen? From 10 to 11 next week. Something remarkable happened this week. We saw God glorify Himself like He always does. On August 5th, in a copper and gold mine in San Jose, Chile, 33 miners were trapped half a mile underground. Seventeen days later, a probe was sent down, and that was when the world even found out that they were still alive. They were down to 120 cans of tuna, and they had started rationing the food, basically surviving on a few teaspoons of fish and a little water every day, because they had no idea how long they were going to be down there. And it was exciting. After 22 days, the rescuers found a note that basically said, all 33 of us are fine in the shelter. When the explosion first happened, it was so dark in there, it took 3 hours for the dust to settle. It was so dark that the men could not even see their hands in front of their eyes. That was how dark it was. We're talking 85 degrees temperature. Half a mile trapped below the surface of the earth. We're told that when man landed on the moon, 600 million around the world watched that event. Now, praise God, there's a lot more television now, and the satellite TV, and the rescue that happened this week was seen by over 1.2 billion. Now, I don't know about you, God was glorified. That was what got me excited. And I don't know, when you see stuff like that, what it does to you personally. Maybe you didn't even watch. I encourage you to go watch it on the internet. It was quite something. But you see, what God did this week, He's always done through the ages. I don't know if you realize, God is in the rescue business. Right from Genesis chapter 3, you see Him over and over again rescuing people. That's what the story of the Israelites is all about. They were in bondage for over 400 years in Egypt. And at the right time, He went in and He rescued them. You see story after story in the scriptures. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. He went in there and He rescued them. When Daniel was thrown to lion's pit, He went in there and He rescued them. Church, I am here today to tell you that every single day, God continues to rescue us. And a lot of times we're so oblivious. We don't even realize what is going on. It was so encouraging to hear the stories. As those men spent 69 days underground, it was amazing when they found them alive. It was thought it's going to take several months to get to them. As a matter of fact, the timetable that was thrown out was that, you know what, it's going to happen around Christmas time. I don't know about you. I don't like being in confined spaces. I just don't. I can't imagine what that must feel like. You couldn't pay me to do that job. I'm sorry. Oh, Richard, we'll pay you $1,000. Please. $1,000 is not going to cut it. We'll pay you $1 million. I'm sorry. I ain't going down half a mile down the earth to go do that kind of work. I'm not doing it. And those guys were crying out, basically, get us out of here. You see, Jesus came into this world to do the ultimate rescue. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's where we're going to begin this morning in Colossians chapter 1. You and I were trapped. We were helpless. We were going nowhere fast. You see, the irony is, we didn't even know we needed to be rescued. In Colossians chapter 1, let's begin reading verse 10. Paul writes, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every good way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Again, Paul is talking about, he's talking to the Christians in the church in Colossae. Again, I've said it before, and it's worth repeating. Most of the Bible was written to Christians. Amen? And he says, we pray that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. It's always astonishing to me, as you read the scriptures, as you read Paul's letters to all the churches, everything he was always asking God for, pertaining to the Christians, it was all spiritual stuff. I say that to say, a lot of times, we, on the other hand, we spend most of our time praying for God to provide the physical. It should be the other way around. God promises He will take care of the spiritual if we put Him first and His kingdom. Matthew 6, He will take care of the physical. Amen, church? Amen. Stop praying for people to get a job. And I'm not saying that's bad. Pray instead that they will know God better. Stop praying for God just to provide financial things for people. Pray instead that their love for God will grow. Amen? And then it goes on. It says, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Verse 13, watch this. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen? He says, God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Satan is the one in charge of the dominion of darkness. And God literally came and plucked you out. God came and plucked me out. That's exciting to me. Amen. Amen? I have not forgotten that. I will never forget it. That is what motivates me to want to serve God on a daily basis. What motivates you? Have you forgotten how God rescued you? Have you forgotten the price that He paid so that you can be in the kingdom of light? You see, too many times we forget. We were crying out for help. Some of us didn't even know we were lost. We thought we were on our way to heaven. Because we believed in God and went to church every Sunday. That's what I thought. But God took us and rescued us and brought us in. Amen? You see, the world heard the cries of those men down below. And people got to work. From 12 different nations. Americans went in. German experts went in. South Africans went in. Several nations. That capsule, which they call the Phoenix, it was designed by a guy who works for NASA. It was incredible to watch. Their families camped out for 69 days, waiting for their loved ones to be brought back up. As a matter of fact, when they decided to go in, they were drilling in three places, just in case one failed. And as God would have it, the shaft that the Americans drilled was the one that got down first. Praise God for that. But you see, those guys were desperate. They needed help, and the world came in and got them out. That's what Jesus did ultimately for every single one of us. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Just a few, you know, a few chapters before Colossians. Galatians chapter 1, in verse 3. It says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." He says Jesus gave himself for our sins. See, every last one of us in here, we're all sinners. And we will be sinners forever. Well, if we're saved, we're just redeemed sinners. That's all we are. Amen? Jesus came to die for us. He uses that word again, to rescue us from this present evil age. See, it's tough to realize that, you know, that this world is messed up living in America. It really is. Because we don't see it. The Bible says, this age is evil. I can't sugarcoat that. This world is messed up. Jesus came to rescue us from this present evil age. You know, it's amazing to me how, you know, events like this happen. And people start blaming God. How can God let this happen? If there is a God, how can 33 men be trapped half a mile below the earth? Where is this God? It's amazing. Now that he's rescued them, I don't see anybody talking about what incredible God, what God has done. You see, he works both ways. You can't blame God for the disaster, and then when he gives the rescue, you don't give him the credit. You see, I notice things like that. Oh, there can't be a God. How can God allow 9/11 to happen? It's evil men. People, evil age. And God came to rescue us from that. Oh, I want a place where there's no problems, there's no evil, everything is just fine. Yes, there is such a place. It's called heaven. And this ain't it. All of us will have to wait to get there. As a matter of fact, you have to die physically to be able to get there. Are you listening to me, church? That's what I'm looking forward to. There's not going to be any need to rescue anybody in heaven. Because everybody that needs their screen will already be there. Amen? But while we're here, we've all been rescued, and God has called us to go rescue others. That needs to be on our mind every single day. Amen? He gave himself up to rescue us First Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's keep looking at the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. First Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 8. It says, the Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They told how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Watch this. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. See, that's why Jesus came. He says, Jesus came to rescue us from the coming wrath. You know, a lot of us remember 9/11. That was horrific. It was heart-wrenching. Brothers and sisters, the coming wrath, the day of judgment, 9/11 is going to be so pale in comparison. I don't know what else to tell you. The Bible tells us, you know, those of us that are Christians, we need to pray that we're able to stand. We are going to be trembling. You will tremble, I promise you. When that trumpet sounds, when it's all over. Why? Because most of this world, the Bible says, is going to mourn. Because they're not going to make it. We got to see the reality of what's going on. Oh, Richard, here we go again. You're making me feel guilty. You're not hearing me. That's just worldly sorrow. It's for you and I to repent, to change, metanoia. That's what the word means, to have a mind change. It's constant. It's ongoing. A lot of us Christians, we don't even see this present evil age anymore. We don't think about the coming wrath. I mean, like we're talking about last week, when you see a fire, you see somebody's house burning down, you don't just stand there. And well, I hope somebody else will call the fire department. You do something. I mean, there are stories of people where they see smoke and they run in and get everybody out. Because it takes a while for the fire department to get there, depending on how far the station is from that place. Amen? Now, sometimes they make it in 3 minutes. Praise God for that. But I'm telling you, 3 minutes is a long time, depending on what the emergency is. If somebody's got a heart attack and they're feeling chest pains, I found out this week. I didn't even know this. One of the best things you can do for yourself, if that even happens to you, is to go into your kitchen, get a cup of olive oil and drink it. Something about, you know, the properties of olive oil and all that stuff, in terms of what it does to your blood vessels. It could mean the difference between life and death. I didn't know that. You better believe I found that somewhere in the back of my recesses. Because, you know, it's not that, heaven forbid, you get a heart attack, that your spouse is going to be standing right there with you. Amen? The point is, when you see somebody in need of help, you run to their rescue. That is what God has called us to go do. I was so encouraged by those men and their faith. One of them said, you know what? We're not 33 people down here. We're 34. God is down here with us. That's what I'm talking about. It's not the rescuers that got him out. It was God. Now, amen. God used those people, but it was God. One guy, his first name is Mario. There were a couple of them called Mario. But this guy came out, they all had their sunglasses because they've been down there for almost 70 days. They were told to put on those sunglasses for several days to get their eyes acclimatized back to the light. They've been living in darkness for so long. Man, he came out, he was so fired up, he's hugging everybody. He goes to the rescuers and he's doing their chant and he's high-fiving everybody, giving them hugs. The guy says, I saw God. I saw the devil. God won. That was his attitude. And you think you got problems? How would you like to be down there for 70 days? Eating ration food. You can't even see the light of day. They will gladly trade places with you. It's amazing. They came out. They were so humble. They said, hey, we're not celebrities. Please don't treat us like that. It was so amazing to see their president and his wife stand there for 24 hours welcoming everybody that came out. That's leadership. President Sebastian Pinedo. I didn't even know his name until this week. That's leadership. It's like, you know what? We're going to do whatever it takes to get these people out. That was attitude. And it's amazing when the last guy, the last miner, you know, as they were bringing them up initially, five rescuers went down there. When they brought up the 33rd miner, 24 hours later, the guy comes out and the Pinedo looks at the guy and says, welcome to life. It's amazing to hear them speak and to hear them talk. It's like, you know what? We've been reborn. Why am I sharing all this stuff? You see, the rescue mission that these guys pulled off this week, that's what God has called us to do every single day. Every day. We got to see that people are desperate. They need help. I mean, can you imagine? After the world found out that, you know, those guys are trapped down there. If people were just going about their business, going to work, and just doing their own stuff. I mean, what would you say if that was the response? You would say, man, this is wicked. This is heartless. This is terrible. This is callous. You realize that every day we walk by people that are lost, all those words describe us, describes you as a so-called disciple of Jesus Christ. I am being very serious here. When we don't see the desperation that people are in. And we know the truth. We found the truth. Jesus saved us. When we're intimidated by the way people look, or we're so concerned about what they're going to say, you're heartless. You're wicked. You're callous. If people had treated you that way, you would not be sitting here this morning. But people reached out to you. They loved you. Despite all your excuses. Despite you running. They stayed with you. They befriended you. They prayed for you. And eventually God softened your heart. You saw the truth and you responded to it. Amen? People are crying to get out. We got to do something, church. You know, it took a team effort. Chile could not pull that off by themselves. They didn't have the resources. The same thing is true for rescuing souls, spiritually speaking. It's going to take a team effort. We all have a role to play. Amen. One person can't do it. A few people can't do it. You may have heard this said before. There are three kinds of people in this world. Those who make things happen. Then there are a bunch of people who watch things happen. And then the third category, who wonder what is happening. Which one are you? Are you going to become a rescuer? Or are you just going to be stand back, just watching? Or you're so oblivious, you don't even know what's going on. He said, oh, Richard, I got problems. Yeah, I got problems too. That doesn't stop you and I from doing what God has called us to do. Amen? Again, it was so amazing to see some of them. I cried a lot this week watching those guys come out of that mine. Seeing their families crying and giving them hugs. They've been down there for 69 days. They didn't take a shower. I can't imagine what the must have smelled like. But you didn't see that. Families go, ooh, no, 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 no. Go take a shower first, then we'll hug. No, no, they just grabbed them. They were kissing them. Why? Because you know what? Their loved ones is now alive. That's the way God is with us. We're so filthy and disgusting with our sin. And then he cleanses us through the blood of Jesus. And gives us a big hug despite all that filth. That's what we've been called to do. You can't sit back and say, well, I'll wait for him to take a shower first and then I'll come in there. You missed the point. You got to get close while they're still smelling. Amen? That's what God does with us. It's like we're waiting for them to clean up first and then we'll come close. It doesn't work that way. Amen? People are in need of rescue. They're crying out to us. One of them, I didn't even know this, used to be a soccer player. He played for Chile when he was younger. And so when he came out, they gave him a ball. He had autographed by all kinds of people. And he's playing it up. It was so heartwarming. Some of them came out and just dropped to their knees. And prayed. And then stood up. I didn't see God being given the credit. The men were. I didn't hear the media giving God the credit. You realize this is the first time in recorded history where people have been trapped in a mine below ground for that long, and you and I watched it on television. It's amazing. It was so amazing. When all the miners were out, and there were the six rescuers left in there, they held up a sign in Spanish saying, mission accomplished. Chile. Again, I don't know about you. When I see stuff like that, I just cry. I just give God glory. Amen? That's what it's all about. Some of us did not, I mean, we were too young to remember this. Some of us, we watched on TV. When the men of Apollo 13 were lost in space. And those guys at NASA had to do stuff to bring them down back to Earth. Some of you are old enough to remember it. A lot of you kids were not even born. That's why they made Apollo 13. And hopefully you've seen Apollo 13. If you want to get inspired, go rent it. It will flat inspire you. True story. That's one of my most favorite movies, by the way. I love it. There's just something about when people lay down their lives so that others may be rescued. There's something about it. That is when we are most like God. Amen? I'm not going to take the time to refer to the scriptures. Bishop already referred to it this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. That is why they cannot see the truth of the gospel of Christ. Satan is the one that's in charge of this world. People read the same Bible, they can't see it. They're like, why are you so excited? Why are you always happy? Despite all the stuff that's going on. How come you have these kind of kids? You tell your kids to sit and they actually obey you. In this age, people are like, wow, how do you do that? Tell me the trick. There's no trick to this. It's God. God gives us very specific directions on how to raise these little, you know, bambinos running all over the place. Amen? How do you do that? Good question. Let me show you a passage. This day and age of just leave the kids to their own devices. Alan talked about it this morning. We can't do that. You are in trouble. I'm not ashamed to say it. I control the amount of television my kids watch. We've always done that. First of all, there's no TV during the week. During the school. He said, oh, Richard, you leave your house all the way you want. I'm going to leave mine the way I want. No TV during the week. Even during the weekends, it's controlled. I keep telling my kids, they're so sick of hearing it. They don't hand out diplomas for you watching cartoons. I have never seen diplomas being handed out because you watch so much cartoons. Ain't happening. Turn that TV off, go pick up a book. Well, I've done my homework. Fine, I will give you some more. Why? Because let me tell you something. That's what my parents did with me, and I praise God for it. Now that I look back, those kids that get straight A's, it's not by magic. They spend a lot more time in the books. Amen? There's no magic to this. Oh, I'm just going to let them do whatever they want to do. You are going to cry. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I promise you, you will shed tears. Some of us, we spend so much time on Facebook. Oh, you know I'm going there. Now, Facebook is not sin. The question I always ask is, where do you find this time to do this? You better be careful. All this stuff you're putting out there. It's out there. You have no privacy. People are going to use that thing against you one day. I don't have a Facebook account. Why? I just don't have the time. I don't tweet either. I'm not even sure where you have to go to be able to do that stuff. I couldn't tell you. I don't have the time. Is it a sin to tweet? No. But the question is, how are you using God's time? Oh, I went to the grocery store. Hello. Come on, man. I got work for you to do. Be careful how you spend this time. It's God's time. You are going to give an account for it one day. I'm not saying don't spend time on Facebook, but the question is, when you're there, what are you doing? You know, believe it or not, I don't have a Facebook account, but my daughters do. And so I get on there every once in a while, and I read. A lot of you guys in here, you're quote unquote, you have a friend. So I read what you write. Oh, I'm not going to embarrass you from the pulpit and start telling you what you've written. I've seen it. But you see, Lisa Washington is also on Facebook. But it's always amazing to me how you go in there and you read what she's writing about. It's all spiritual stuff. She's telling and sharing with you what she's learning, what she's reading in the Bible. And what God is doing in her life. That's what I'm talking about. Amen? Again, you want to use Facebook or social networking? Fine. Use it to the glory of God. That's what I'm saying. Don't give me this. Well, this broke down, and then that broke down. Well, welcome to the club. Stuff broke down in my house too, but I'm not telling you. I got to go call the repairman to come fix that stuff. Amen? There's a world in need of rescue. Don't spend your time doing stuff that's just meaningless. That's the point I'm making. He said, there he goes again. You know, it's amazing. I don't know how old Facebook is. You didn't have that stuff a few years ago. You didn't die. Some of us is like, you know, our cell phones or, you know, your whatever. It's like, you know, it's as if you're lost without that thing. 20 years ago, there were no cellular phones. All this texting is something new. You didn't have that 10 years ago. Why are you acting as if you're going to die without it? Is it wrong to text? No. Is it wrong to have a cell phone? No. Personally, if I had my way, I would get rid of mine. Honestly, that's the truth. I carry that stuff for emergency purposes only. What? 20 years ago, there were no cell phones. Some of you have forgotten how you wanted to use a phone and you were in public. You had to go find a public payphone. It's amazing. They don't have them anymore. So, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it is wrong to have a cell phone. The question is, what are you doing with it? Are you using it to call people to find out how they're doing? I usually call people and say, you know, hey, I'm coming over. Let alone, just show up. Don't even call them ahead of time. Jesus did it several times in the Bible. He just showed up. Okay, Zach, you home? Well, guess what? I'm going to spend... No. Jesus said, hey, Zach, what's up? Let's go. That's the way Jesus was. You honestly believe if Jesus was alive right now, you'd be carrying around all these gadgets that we got? You have got to be kidding me. But I bring all these things up because guess what, church? It has become a distraction. We need to use the technology to glorify God's name. You got a cell phone? Call somebody. Hey, bro, you got a few minutes? Let's pray. I'll start, you finish. Father God, thank you for today. Pray with your brother. Pray with your sister. Don't be calling somebody up talking about the Jets. I don't care about the Jets. I don't care if you get us lost last night. Don't bother me. But use that cell phone to glorify God. Amen? Use that computer to rescue people from darkness. That's what we're talking about. I can see the look on some of your faces. You don't like what I'm saying because I'm speaking directly to you. Is it a sin to be involved in all this stuff? No. It is a sin, though, when we're doing all this stuff and people are crying for help and we're doing nothing. People are drowning. We need to dive in and go rescue them. Amen? On that note, I'm very excited to announce at 4 p.m., hang on. At 4 p.m., remember, God is in the rescuing business. This afternoon at 4 p.m., at the Becker's house where we have the baptistry, Melissa Horton is going to be getting baptized. Go ahead and stand up. That's exciting. God is going to save her from a lot of a horrible and nasty future that because of Jesus, she will not get involved in. Isn't that what we want for our kids and for our neighbors and for everybody? Amen? We can never lose sight of that. Let's close out in John chapter 20. I'm going to leave all you Facebookers alone for now. I'll be back. Believe me, you don't want me on Facebook because I will comment on everything you write. I'm going to just be preaching about everything. I don't have the time. That's why I'm not on it. John chapter 20 in verse 19. On the evening on that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Jesus came to rescue us. This is right after the resurrection. He's getting ready to go back to his Father in heaven. He says, "You know what? As the Father has sent me, now I am sending you." The message is the same. It hasn't changed in over 2,000 years. Amen? God sent Jesus. Now Jesus is sending us. That's what it's all about. We can never lose sight of that. This has always been our mission. Galileo, I'm going to ask you to start making your way up here. We're going to close out with a word of prayer just now. But before we do that, there's a song we haven't sung in a long time that I want us to sing. Larry, what's going on? I can't control my... I'm trying to get to slide number 2 first. Anonymous once said, "If the resurrection did not happen, nothing matters. If the resurrection really did happen, nothing else really matters." As the Father has sent me, Jesus says, now I'm sending you. We've been called to go tell people about this Jesus who came to rescue us from darkness so that one day we can be with God for eternity. Like I said, there's a song I want us to sing. It's called "Lead Me to Some Soul Today." Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today.
Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find the way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today.
Now we're going to sing it like we really mean it.
Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find the way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray.
I gave out the prayer bookmarks on Thursday night. I started to hand them out. So if you need one, it has all the cities in Gwinnett that we're all praying for. Please come see me afterwards. God bless you all.